few minutes. Let's go. Let's take a look at Parsha Shmini. We have the laws of, we're introduced for the first time to the laws of Kashrus. To the laws of Kashrus. The only laws of Kashrus we've seen till now are the, in Parsha's Bo, we read about the laws of Chametz and Matzah. Right, that's Kashrus. Right. Mishpatim, we have Basa B'Chalav, we have what we call Tarfus. But here, of course, we have the proper list and laws of what is kosher, what we call colloquially kosher versus not kosher. And in Perikin Aleph, the Torah begins to explain a whole long list of different halachos and animals that are kosher and not kosher. And different types of animals and fish and birds and bugs and grasshoppers and all kinds of things. Okay. I just want to take a very short moment. The time we have, especially, we don't have time for a whole treatment of concept of kashrus, or even a review of the halachas. It's actually such a fascinating discussion. Learn your idea. Just for the list itself of what actually is kosher in the Torah, what's not kosher in the Torah, that itself is fascinating. The different what I'll call things which are not kosher. In other words, essentially, the starting position in Judaism is that everything's allowed. Because people don't, sometimes it's important for me. I remind my students. Because people think that in Judaism nothing's allowed. To the contrary, the status quo default position is that everything is allowed, right? Unless the Torah tells you it's not allowed. So the Torah presents, here are the things which are not permissible, but everything else is permissible. Okay, that's the basic concept. And that's true in life also, not just about what you eat, it's about what you do and what you, anything. And everything is allowed unless the Torah tells you it's not allowed. So understand that, the abstract, just the concept itself, just the idea, the notion that everything is actually allowed according to the Torah, unless it is. The Torah tells you there's certain things you're not permitted to do. But everything, all things, everything in the world is allowed. Everything. Anything, whatever. To do, to think, to go, to smell, to eat, to anything. Anything and everything is okay unless the Torah tells you it's not okay. Right, majority of things in this world and pleasures in this world and anything in this world is certainly mutter. Okay, the Torah tells you there's certain things that are not allowed. Now, just to notice, it's interesting that there's an expression: "You are what you eat." You are what you eat. It's fascinating to observe that the animals which are not kosher, for the most part, are animals which are carnivorous, means they kill. Now, the animals which are kosher are docile, they're how do you say it? Herbivorous, and I can't, right? The herbivores, they eat grass, right? So, are you with me, Eddie? The majority, it's actually very interesting, because we use the expression, you are what you eat. The Torah tells us you're not permitted to eat certain things, and you think, why? Who cares? What's the difference? God makes these rules. You're not allowed to eat this. You're not allowed to eat this animal. This animal, you are allowed to eat. Why is that? I mean, how do you explain that, right? So, animals. It's interesting that the kosher animals are innocent. Now, when you actually eat food, right, the food actually nourishes you and becomes part of you. You understand? I'm not trying to talk to you like you're stupid, but. How did you get such a big body? You. How did you get that big body? How did you get that big body? How did you get those big muscles from? Yeah, the food you eat actually becomes part of who you are. That's the truth. The food you eat actually becomes part of who you are. It creates your existence. Look at, take a child. Is this, how'd you get someone who was this big and he turned into this big? How'd that happen? He's nourished. He's nourished through many years. He's nourished through nutrients and foods that he eats, and it becomes, his body absorbs it and turns it into, you know, fatty cells and muscles, and that's it. We actually are what we eat. That's actually the truth. You actually are what you eat. That's why if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's awesome. You actually become like a, see this? If you eat foods from Israel, you actually become a shtick Israel. A shtickle Israeli. That's a shtickle Israel. That's, you actually become who you are. That's the truth. You become part of the landmass. Okay. That's who you are. I'm serious. So I actually know people who, even in Chutzlar, it's, oh, the enemy is here. In Chutzlar, it's people who will try to eat something on Shabbos, anything from Israel. Even a tam, to be toying something from the Eretz Yisrael, just that, because to ingest food that grew, that was nourished from the ground, the Eretz Yisrael, it's a big thing. Right? In any case, it just, as an opening introduction, just two opening introductions, which are besides the point, just interesting to observe and notice. Number one, everything in Judaism is mutter unless the Torah tells you it's prohibited. And the food stuff that we are told that you are allowed to eat and you're not allowed to eat, there is rhyme and reason to Yadis. Obviously, we knew that beforehand, but it's just interesting to observe that. Okay. Now let's look at the page in front of us. If you turn to page 597 in the Sonar, Hashem says, "These are the creatures you are permitted to eat." Okay, animals which have split hooves. Okay, that are completely split, and the chewed cud. Everybody know this. We know this, that the mammals that are kosher are animals which have split hooves and chew their cud. That's it. This we know. Famous. Then the Torah proceeds and says, this is what you are not permitted to eat. Okay? Okay, this is what you're not permitted to eat. What are that? What are they? The gamal, the camel. Why? Because the camel has chews its cud, but it does not have split hooves. The shafan, right, translated as the hyrax, okay, and the anevet, which is like a rabbit. All these three things chew their cud, but they do not have split hooves. Fine. Then the Torah tells you, and there's one more thing on the list, which has the opposite. The chazir is also prohibited. Why? Because it has split hooves, but it does not chew its cud. Okay? That's it. The Torah lists four exceptions to these rules. Says the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Nuntes and Daf Samach. The Gemara does a discussion about this. Moses says, wait a second. First of all, it's interesting. The Torah could have just said the rules, right? Just say the rules. The Torah doesn't just say the rules. Here, if it has split hooves and chews its cud, it's kosher. That's it. You're finished. Nevertheless, the Torah goes ahead, and beyond that, it starts telling you the thing, it lists. There are four things that don't. Three in one category, right, that have one and not the other, and then one in another category that have one and not the other. Right? The other and not one. Okay? Everyone with me? We're communicating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, isn't it interesting that the Torah stopped and gave us a list of things that it doesn't have? The exceptions? Right? Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Why would the Torah need to do that? The Torah doesn't need to do that. Moreover, The Gemara asks, wait, tell me, was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu writes the Torah. God tells him to write the Torah, right? What was he? The guy was a hunter? He was a zoologist? Could you imagine? Moshe starts giving a lecture about, the Torah starts going like, there's this kind of exception and this type of animal and that type of animal. Who cares? Just say the halacha is the halacha. Well, you have to give it, right? Right? So the Gemara says something amazing. The Gemara says, you learn from this that you actually have proof. You have actually have proof from this story that God gave the Torah. You have proof from this story that God gave the Torah. How's that? Stop and consider for a second. You know, this document is written 3,000 years ago. Is, 1313 BC, what BC stands for. Before cell phones, even. BC is before cell phones. Okay? In other words, before everything. Before everything. So, this is before Google, before everything in the obviously all of technology, before airplanes, before trains and locomotives.
Mara says this.
The Gemara doesn't say it exactly in these words, but you understand that how in the world? Just stop and just think. Everyone agrees that this book, that the Torah, is close to 3,000 years old. Even historians, you have the Septuagint. Right, the translation of the Torah, which is written in Greek and corroborated by Greek scholars 2,500 years ago. It's not like everybody agrees that the Torah is an ancient book. How in the world could someone write in the Torah that they're specifically four exceptions?
Same thing with the fish.
Right? Specifically four exceptions? How do you understand that? You see that? It's impossible to know. In other words, we're finding, over the last 200 years, when the world got very mobile, right, people are, and advanced, people are finding this type of species and that species and going to Africa and going to, Australia and finding this thing and that thing, etc. How do you find these things? It's open, be careful. How do you find these things? So obviously many years ago they couldn't do it. And the one who's writing the Torah is writing with confidence and competence and clearly showing that these are the only exceptions. These are the only exceptions around. This is proof that Hashem wrote the Torah. Could you imagine? This is proof that Hashem wrote the Torah. I think that's pretty important. That is a pretty important line in the Gemara right here on this opening passage of the laws of Kashrus. So right away, I could end the shiur now. I mean, we just proved that the Torah was written by God. Not bad. Right? Okay. That's it. Right? We're done. Now, continues the Torah. After we finish this, it begins to talk about the fish. Okay? It begins to talk about the fish. And what does it say about the fish? It says, anything which has snapir, the kaskeses, anything which has fins and has scales is kosher. Anything with fins and scales is kosher. Says the Mishnah in Nida. But you should just know something. Okay, I'm reading the Mishnah in Nida of Nun Aleph of the Beis. You should just know something. Kol sheyesh lo kaskeses, yesh lo snapir. Anything which has scales also has fins. Any fish which also has scales, any fish with scales also has fins. So basically, any fish with scales is kosher. Right? Any fish which has scales is kosher, because by definition, we just told, the Mishnah is telling this to us. Now, you know how long ago this tradition is given? Again, this is 3,000 years ago. You see that? Okay? Um, says the Gemara, wait a second. If that's true, so the licht of Rachmana kaskeses v'lo bayis napir. The basic question. If it's really true that everything which, any fish which has scales is kosher, because by definition if it has scales, it also has fins. So just say, no, any fish which has scales is kosher, right? So a shark, for example, has fins and has no scales. A dolphin has fins, no scale. A whale has fins. You can see it. It's not shiny. It doesn't have. You know what scales are. Scales. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, like that, right? You catch a fish. It's easy to tell. Like, it's easy to tell a kosher fish, right? Because it has scales on it. So what are you wasting my time in the Torah? It says the Gemara, why are you saying extra, right? Says the Gemara, in order, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. That's the Gemara says. Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Okay. Yeah, right?
Fish.
Right, now stop and recognize for a moment. Right, lahagdil Torah v'adira. Certainly, one pshat is the same pshat like the Gemara and Chulin. In other words, how in the world could the Torah say make such a statement? How could Chazal, it's the Torah Shabbat Peh, you know, how could Moshe Rabbeinu teach this? You know, coming off Mount Sinai. Well, he was the guy's a marine biologist. He went snorkeling, and where do you guys go? You know, Eilat? Where the guy studied all the fish in the sea. I mean, what an absurd statement. How do you know? But you see again, this is proof to Torah's Emes. You with me? Torah's Emes. Because if the fact that Moshe could tell this to us, and the Mishnayos wrote this 2,000 years ago, you know what I'm saying? So there it is. What a statement! Can you imagine if you find an animal that has, you know, that only, you know, anything besides the pig that actually has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud? That's like that messes up the Torah. Who could take such a risk? You know, if a man wrote the Torah, it'd be impossible for him to know. And if he did know it, if he had a thesis, he wouldn't be dumb enough to write it. If, you know, the exceptions, just leave it out there. Leave the exceptions out, and you say what you want to say, right? In any case, you see here proofs to Torah. I think that it's important, right? We need chizuk. We need chizuk. The Torah is giving us, the Gemara is giving us chizuk. That this is amuna. You see that the Torah is true. The Torah is written by Hashem. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't understand the Gemara's text. The Torah could have just written fins.
Right.
It could have just written scales.
Right.
And that's it. There's no reason to talk about fins.
Exactly.
But the Torah wrote both.
Right.
It shows that even back then, they knew that no matter what fish, they couldn't have known every single fish technically. They were just a normal person. How could they have known? They didn't have scuba diving here back then. They didn't have... But from the fact that it said that every single fish you will find ever... that has
skill
will have fins.
What does it say? The Gemara learns it out of the Torah,
No, that's the Masara.
So from the end, they still haven't found a fish that has skills that doesn't have fins. So it shows that
the Torah
didn't say that there's no animal that...
Okay, let's say there were Barnum 3,000 years ago. They
that was the Torah Shalal Pen.
That's why the Torah said that.
Right. No, okay, so there's more. What Mordechai is pointing out, that there's... Say it again?
The Torah meant that.
Torah meant what?
That every, it doesn't say middle case. It only says a case that it has fins and scales and it doesn't go like the Bahamian and say that it has more than the other. Meaning what? You can't have a case that you have scales.
There is more to this line in the Gemara that I'm saying, but at the very least, I'm showing you that again. You see the divine wisdom of the Torah. You see the divine wisdom of the Torah. But in addition to that, okay, lahagdil Torah v'adira. You see that in certain places, the Gemara presents this, that it's a longer discussion, right? How you, what's the point of the Haggadah Torah Adira? I mean, that they make more Torah and more discussion. Okay. Now, I guess that, again, to read these psukim, you're, like I say, I'm in the neighborhood. For me not to show this to you, it's like we're losing out. You know, how could I not show you what we just read? Right? Fine. But what I want to look at in the little time I have left is a question which I've been asked many times. I've been asked this question many times in different contexts, and I used to, you know, I used to have one answer, and I still think that this answer is true, but I have been broadened by the Gemara and by Chazal, and I want to share it with you, okay? And that is the Gemara's Chazal's understanding of the exception of the animal that the exception of the animal that has split hooves but does not chew its cud, and that is of course the chazir. The Torah tells us in Parshas Toldos, at the end of Parshas Toldos, the Torah tells us that Esav decided he wants to get married. Esav wants to get married. And here, one second. Esav wants to get married. And he's 40, Esav turns 40 years old. One second, please. So, but Esav turns 40 years old, and he says, "Okay, I have to go. I have to get married. I have to get married." Fine. So, Chazal point out that Esav is like a pig. That's what Chazal say. He's like a pig. Okay? Have you ever heard this before?
Yeah.
Esav is considered a pig. Why is he called a pig? Okay? He's called a pig because, we all know, right? We have our own expression. Chazer, right? Treif. Chazer treif. You ever hear people say that? Chazer treif. Now, think about it. What's more kosher? I don't know. A horse or a pig? A pig is more kosher than a horse. A pig at least has one, wouldn't you say? A pig has, of the two simanim.
Theoretically.
Right. A pig has one of the simanim? Don't you think of it? Aren't you going to give a pig, at least something for, you know. They get some credit.
Points for trying.
Right. It has split hooves. Yeah. You see that? A pig should be more kosher than a horse. But we say chazer treif, chazer is like the worst thing. Chazer, pork. You know what? Pork is bad, but it's not as bad as, Yeah, like other things which have no simani. You hear that? Right. Exactly. Right. Very good. Or if you can talk about things which have one simen, talk about the camel. Exactly. Gamal treif. Right. Doesn't that, right? So, well, how do we understand it? What's wrong with the chazer? And by the way, Chazal call chazer, like, it's like despicable. It's despicable. It's disgraceful. Davaracha. The Gemara calls it a davaracha. Right. Gemara calls a pig a davaracha. Right? Very good. In different Gemaras in Shas, it calls it a davaracha. In fact, the Gemara calls it a pig a mobile toilet. A moving toilet. A moving bathroom. It's like considered a
porta potty.
Yeah, like a porta potty. Very good. Porta potty, yes. It's so, and in one place the Gemara says, calls it Tsoa Overes. Moving chreft.
Chreft in motion.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yes, a chreft in motion. Exactly. That's what the Gemara calls it. A pig is considered like such a terrible. Was willst du mit der Chase? What did the pig do so bad? Right? So, what's the pshat? Why is it called that? Why is it called that? Why Chazal looks so... It's like the quintessential example of something being disgusting. What's the answer? What's the answer? Chazal say... Chazal say it here. It's a Medrash Rabbah. That Esav is like a pig. Why? Because how does a pig present itself? On the outside, it presents itself like this. You ever see the pig in the mud? It sits like this. With its big split hooves, you can see it. Right? But inside, it's trick. Inside, it doesn't have a thing. So in other words, the outside of the pig, basically the pig presents himself like a tzaddik. The pig presents himself like a tzaddik.
It's fake.
Yeah, exactly. He's a ligonel. He's mole falschkeiten. Why? What's the inside joke here? Okay? He presents himself like a tzaddik, but internally he's a Russian. Right? In other words, if you're going to be a Russia, fine, to be a Russia. Fine. If you're going to be a tzaddik, so be a tzaddik. But if you're going to be a Russia and present yourself like a tzaddik, that's not cool. That itself inherent is considered, I don't know what you guys are laughing at.
On Purim, somebody called me fake, that's why.
That's an inherent, it has inherent, one second, there's an inherent we'll call it a certain element of immorality in that taking that position. And this is interesting because it's certainly open for argument and discussion. For someone to be a Rasha and to present them like a tzaddik is, that's the height of chutzpah. In other words, if you thought you were Rasha till now, that's even worse. That's even worse. So the camel, okay, look, he has one simen, but it's on the inside. He doesn't present like himself. Like, he doesn't present himself like a tzaddik. He doesn't. He presents like a regular, like a Russia. Okay, so there's nothing wrong. But if you present yourself like a tzaddik and really inside you're Russia, that's terrible. So that's what Chazal say. That's what Esav did. What did he say? Oh, how do I take Maaser from salt? I have to get married. Why? Because my father got married at 40. Rashi brings it. My father got married at 40. And now it's my turn to figure out how to get married at 40. Now I'm 40 years old, I have to get married. Meanwhile, he was raping women left and right for the first 40 years of his life. The guy was a Russia. Right? He was clearly an immoral person. Had an immoral personality. And he presents himself... Oh, I'm 40 now. I'm a tzaddik. Oh, okay. I have to get married now. And Rashi, the last Rashi in the parsha, says, "Oh, even when he gets married, he still remains with the girls, the Rishayim women who he, his wives who were of the Avodah Zarah. It's not like he left them and he married a tzaddik. He was a Rasha before, and he gets married. Then he's a Rasha after. He's a Rasha the whole time, but he presents himself like a tzaddik. That's terrible." That's terrible. If you look in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, the Torah presents to us the story of Yosef and his brothers, and it says there, "V'lo yachlu l'dabro l'shalom." V'lo yachlu l'dabro l'shalom. The brothers of Yosef cannot speak to Yosef in a civil way. I'm going to show you the pasuk with civility. V'lo yachlu l'dabro l'shalom. So that you think that's a terrible thing, right? Isn't that a terrible thing? They can't even talk to each other. So Rashi says, even though it's a terrible thing, quoting from Chazal, even though it's a terrible thing, they couldn't talk to each other with civility, but you should just know, there's also a compliment there. Because at least they were upfront. If they acted like they were best friends and there's nothing between them, meanwhile inside they hated their guts and, you know, daven for his death, you know, that would be not cool. Don't act like a tzaddik. You know, something's wrong. The Torah tells us. That we're coming up to it soon. If you hate, if you have a tie on someone, so tell him. Unless the Gemara says he's not capable of hearing it. Okay, so that's a different story. But even then, it doesn't mean you have to hate his guts. But the Torah tells us here, I should show it to you. Hold on, let me just find the Rashi. Hold on. It's right here. One second. Tochinusam lamadnu shivcham shvacham shalom dibru echa bepev echa b'leiv. You see here that there was something valuable about the fact that they were up front. They were rude on the outside and obnoxious on the outside. Okay, you know why? Because on the inside they felt rude and obnoxious. They're rude on the outside as well. You know, if you're going to be a bad boy, say, be a bad boy. You're going to be a bad boy and dress up and look like you're a good boy. That's already, Chazal say, that's wrong. That's there's something extra wrong about that. I have to tell you that this is something that I have encountered. I have often, I mean, in my career, I have often fielded the question, you know, people say, you know, I can't stand those guys. They dress, they put on a black hat, they put out their tzitzis, right? And they wear a white shirt. And meanwhile, they have the same, they have bad midas when they started, they still have bad midas, right? It happens very often in yeshiva, I get this question. Two yeshiva guys, both came in the same place, and one starts, you know, he grows payas. Okay, one guy, he wears tzitzis out, he puts a tzitzis out, right? And the other guy comes to me and they could kvetch. Look at that guy, he's such a faker. He's a faker, the guy's a chakran. I hate that guy. I say, why do you hate that guy? You know, he acts like a tzad, such a tzaddik. And meanwhile, I know that he's doing the same thing I'm doing at Ben Yehuda on Thursday night. No, and he wears his yarmulke, he wears his black hat to the
Maaseh Zinus.
I have to tell you, I had a shayla, and my Talmud, it's a sad question. My Talmud, I'm not going to say from where, called me on the phone, and he asked me, Rebbe, he says, look, I'm going to wherever school, whatever university, whatever dance floor he was going to, Mokum Princess, whatever. He says, look, I know I'm going. I'm going to go hang out with those girls and do what I'm doing with those girls. Should I wear my yarmulke or not? Rabbi, listen, I'm going to do it anyway. So just tell me, do you think I should wear my yarmulke or I should not wear my yarmulke? Whoa, what would you say? There's a loaded question. That's not a simple question. On any level, there are a lot of
about the guy who's
there are a lot of parts to that question. I cannot go through each one of them, right?
So
but
yes
just no. I cannot go each one of them. But I can tell you my answer to him. But you won't, you know. I will not. I can't go through all the different things that I had to run through. You know, run through in order to compute what the right answer is.
Call you.
It shouldn't happen. Put your hand here. Put your hand here. Okay. Call me exactly. Okay, so Lamaisa, I'll give you the bottom line. I told him to wear his yarmulke. It's a very complex question. Very complex question. Very complicated. Very, very complicated. But it depended on a lot of things. Okay, I told you I'm not going through all that. But my question for today, the question today is, right, is there something, does that guy have a taina? Does that guy have a taina? Or a guy who looks like a tzaddik and acts like a Russian? You see from this chazal that, you know what, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong. But well, at least on the outside. So at least on the outside I'll be a tzaddik. Well, isn't there value to that? I cannot tell you how many times I've had this question. Right? Stop and think for a second. I can argue the other case. I can argue the other side very strong, very strongly. But look, I want to be a tzaddik. I'm trying to be a tzaddik. You know, I can't do it. So I wear the black hat and I put on the tzitzis and I put on my robe and pants. I'll go to Ben Yehuda and do everything what everyone else does. Isn't there value to that? Don't you say that a guy wants to at least be good? He wants to be good. He just can't control himself. You hear that? I definitely think that there's two angles and there's two ways to argue this question. We cannot give an exhaustive, like I say, treatment to this discussion today. However, you see from this chazal that the pig presented in this week's parasha is considered disgusting. considered disgusting in the eyes of Chazal. The most despicable, you know, what do you say? Chreft in motion. It's the most, it's considered like the so distasteful and so, you know, despicable. Okay? This concept, the Gemara tells a story in Sota. The Gemara tells a fascinating set of Gemaras here in Sota. The Gemara says, I really wish we could discuss this. There's a lot of Gemara here about, a bunch of pages about acting like a tzaddik. Right? The Gemara, there's a Gemara Bava Kama about this. What is the Gemara Bava Kama? About the guy who dressed up in black, right, because he was mourning the temple. Do you know what I'm talking about? Gemara says, right, I think it's in the sixth Perek or the fifth Perek, okay? Because he was dressed up in black clothes and black shoes, he was trying to show how he's mourning. He's an Avelos. Are you with me, Eli and Didi? He's an Avelos of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chachamim put him in Cheirim, the Gemara says. They put him in Cheirim. They put him in Cheirim. He's doing the right, look at the guy's tzaddik, what he's doing. He's an Avelos in the Beis HaMikdash. Cheirim? And the Gemara says, nah, come on, cut the baloney. You're not on a level. You're not on a level of being such a tzaddik. That's not you. What are you acting like such a tzaddik? Well, that's for like a super tzaddik. You're not on such a level. Stop acting like such a tzaddik if you're not a real tzaddik. Now again, I told you it's a very fine line. Right? Because on the other hand, what? So what's the alternative? What's the alternative? I should run around naked around Ben Yehuda? At least I'm wearing tzitzis and I have payas and I don't know. You know, I'm wearing pants. I'm wearing a shirt. What do you want from me? I should run around with a chainsaw. You know, and no clothes on. I mean, what am I going to kill people? What do you expect? What do you want from me? What do you want from me? Right. So listen. The Siddur Gemara says that, you know, it's not cool to wear that, to look to dress like a super tzaddik. And present yourself like a tzaddik when you're really Russian is something wrong, inherently hypocritical, and it's wrong. I told you, I didn't always feel this way. I used to protect the guy. The guy going to Ben Yehuda, I said, leave him alone, at least let him be, at least trying to be. You see here that it's not true. That there's actually is something wrong. Now the Gemara tells the following thing. The Gemara says here, the Mishnah says that there are people who mess up the world. There's a Mishnah here in Daf Chaf. It says there are people who are who do terrible things. Chassid Shote, Rasha Arum, Isha Prusha, Makas Prushin, right? Ha'elim Avale Olam. They're messing up the world. These people are messing up the world. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Who are these people? They look like, some of these guys seem like good guys. Some of these guys are good guys, right? The tzaddikim, what's the makas pushim? The Gemara says, oh, he doesn't look at girls. Wow, he doesn't look at girls. That's one. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah, but he walks around. This is what it says. Gemara, I'm just telling what the Gemara says. He walks around with his eyes closed because he doesn't want to look at girls. Isn't that guy a tzaddik? He is. But because he doesn't want to look at girls, he walks around like this with his eyes closed and he bangs into the wall and he's bleeding. Okay, that's the Gemara presents that. I didn't make up that picture. He's bleeding because he walked into the walls too many times and he broke his head open and he's bleeding. So, wow, what a tzaddik. He's an idiot, says the Gemara. How do you know? Maybe he's really a tzaddik. Nah, he's just trying to show off how much of a tzaddik he is. In other words, part of this depends on your kavana, Rabbi Isai. Part of this depends on your kavana. That's why I can't fully, you know, no one can fully know. But Hashem knows. The Gemara says that even though, where's the Gemara? Hashem knows exactly what a person is thinking. Okay, so in this world, here. Here. Yanei Malka says to his wife, listen to this. Don't worry about the real tzaddikim, don't worry about. And the real Rishayim, Eliliva, we're not communicating. Didi Kruger. No, look at me. Right? The real tzaddikim, don't worry about. The real Rishayim, don't worry about. You know what you have to worry about? Look at this. You know what you should worry about? Ella min hatzvuin shadomen leprushin shemaaseim kemaise zimri umevakshin schar kepinchas. What an awesome, awesome phrase. Awesome. What an expression in the Gemara. The guy does a maise zimri and he requests schar kepinchas. What does that refer to? Pashas Balak. Remember the story? Zimri is the Russia who is having an affair with a Shikta girl, with a non-Jewish girl. Pinchas is the hero of the story, right? Zimri is the villain of the story. Pinchas is the hero of the story. Fine, so Pinchas is Zimri's the bad guy. Pinchas is the good guy. The problem is there are people who are running around the world who are actually doing what the bad guy does, what the villain does, but then they're expecting reward, presenting themselves as if they're doing, as if they're Pinchas, as if they're like the tzaddik. So they're actually in Russia, but they look like the tzaddik. Look at that. Look at that. They do Maisa Russia, Rishus, and then they expect reward and honor like Pinchas, as if they're the biggest tzaddik. Do you see that? I love this expression. The Gemara is an awesome expression. So listen, ultimately, as the Gemara says here, the Gemara here says it, in this world, Beis Din doesn't really know. But Hashem knows. So it's hard to make a blanket statement. Like, you know, who's bad and who's good. It's hard to. But there's a phenomenon going around which needs to be addressed. You know, you don't see it in America. But you walk around here and there's people who are doing some really whacked out, weird stuff. One of those things is that there are women who walk around with I don't know how to describe it. They're dressed up like Palestinian women. Okay? With, what do you call them? Burkas. Not burkas. But burkas. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Hijab, whatever.
You walk around down the street and they look like they're nuts. I don't know how to describe them. They look in Meir Sharim. I've seen her even in Beit Shemesh. You see around here. People walking around completely covered and they look like ghosts, you know. Like,
yeah,
like,
you can't even see their feet.
You can't see anything. Yeah, you can't see anything.
So
and what is the story with those people? It doesn't make sense to me. How in the world do you justify those behaviors? Is it similar to the men bumping into the walls? I get this question, by the way. I have to answer all the questions when people are upset at God, you know, in Judaism. Yeah. So like, the girls say to me, what's the wrong with that dude? He doesn't look at me. You see people that, you know, like, good morning, how are you? How's everything? Like, dude, I'm over here. What are you looking at the wall for? You know, and the girls are so offended. And you know, I spoke to my Rebbe about this. He says, look, if you can't talk to a girl, so don't talk to them. Don't talk. In other words, the rabbi is supposed to be giving the class, and he's talking to her, and the woman asks him, has a question, has a shiloh, and he's like, oh yeah, so what happened? Okay, that's rude. That's rude. Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch? You can't look at a woman. Where does it say? You can't talk. What? Because you're a Baal Tavis? So don't talk to them. Don't teach. What's the matter with you? But it's not derech eretz. It's not a decent person. It's not proper. Now, if the person, the woman knows and understands, and that's one thing. Right? But does it say in Shulchan Aruch, you can't look at a woman? No. It's your problem. So you control yourself. You're supposed to be someone who's what? It's rude. It's indecent. It's indecent to talk to someone and not look at them. It's not pride. It's just bad midos. If you have such a big bal taiva, so stay home. So don't talk to anyone. It's your problem, not her problem. Right? Okay? Alternatively, sometimes if the woman is really offended, I say, listen, you know, you should take it as a compliment. You know? And he's like, he thinks you're good looking. You know? It's a nice thing. You know? He said, don't be so offended. You know, try, right? So, but in any case, but the point is that it's wrong. It's wrong. It's your problem, mister. Right? So the Gemara says, there's a beautiful Gemara, it's actually on the same page, it's related, but it's so insightful, it's so beautiful and so insightful. The Gemara tells us, you want to learn from a kosher woman? a kosher, a woman? The Gemara says here, I have to find it. The Gemara says here about a woman. I have to find it. Such a beautiful Gemara. Here. Says the Gemara. Oh, this is such a beautiful Gemara. The Rabbi Yochanan tells you, you want to learn a Gemara from a modest woman? The Gemara is talking about modesty and false modesty. Right? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan once heard a basula, right? A single girl. He heard her davening. And he said to her, he heard her davening. And, right? And this is what she was saying. She was saying, Rabbi Yochanan shamalai basula, did not la'apa v'ka'am ribana shalalam. Barasa ganeidin, barasa gehenin. You created Gehenna and Gan Eden. Barasa tzaddik and barasa reshaim. Yihiratan l'fanecha shelo yikashlu bi b'nei Adam. What a beautiful Gemara. What does she say? She was davening, Hashem, help me out, that boys don't stare at me. That boys don't stare at me and sin because of my pretty face or my pretty body. That was her tefillah to Hashem. Right? Stop. She was davening. I guess she said it too loud, you know, on the other side of the machitza. And Rabbi Yochanan heard this tefillah. He says, you know what? Because again, the Gemara has a whole list of things which are proper. Chassid or chassid shota, right? To be a good guy chassid or a bad guy chassid. Right? What's called over the line and modesty and false modesty and whatever. A lot has to do with outside behaviors and internal mindsets. And the Gemara says, look, this girl's a kosher girl. Fracked, Rabbi Meenik! If you walk around like a ghost, then it's impossible for anyone to look at her, even know if you're a man or a woman. So then what do you have to daven for? Just wear the blankets over your whole body. You see that?
Mimele.
It's clear. Why is she davening? Because it's clear that's not possible and it's not normal and you're an idiot if you do something like that. Right? You see that? You see that? Look, I just proved to you. Why is she davening? Why is she saying she's a tefillah? Just walk around with a blanket. Walk around with a blanket.
Maybe she couldn't afford it.
You know? Like a ghost. Like this. Hover around town. Right? You see that? Right? Why? Why are you davening for? It's up to you, isn't it? Isn't it up to you? You see it clearly. What are you talking about? Be a normal person. You're not supposed to flaunt your body. Trust me, I agree. A woman is a, trust me, you're not going to hear me say, oh, a woman should dress like a prutza, chas v'shalom. But there are boundaries and modesty is, what did I tell you when we spoke about modesty a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, right? Modesty needs to be inconspicuous, not conspicuous. You know, when that girl walks down the street, trust me, the whole street is looking at her, right? And only God knows. I can't know what she's thinking. But you know what? You got to imagine, you need to come very carefully, and she's thinking, ooh, look at me. I am the, you know, the perfect tzaddik is, right? You can't even know if I'm a man or a woman, right? That's how she's walking down the street. Remember that? We spoke about this once. We're talking about what is real modesty? It means to present yourself like a simple person. Don't be so conspicuous. If you present yourself like a tzaddik on the outside, come on, what are you doing? You see that? In other words, in a certain sense, such a woman is hafuch. Everyone's noticing her. Although I have to tell you, I hope this is not too inappropriate. I met a guy. He's actually a really, this guy is like a really, he's a very frum dude. He's a very frum guy. But he told me he saw one of those women, you know, he grew up in America, he's an American kid, you know, he grew up in New York, you know, he knows the score about, you know, the real world. But he became very frum. He said he saw one of these girls walking down the street, I think named Ghoul or something. And here's what he said, it's not nice, but this is what he said, he goes, I couldn't control myself. When she passed me by, I whistled like I never whistled before. just to like, you know, bug her out, you know, just to make fun of her, you know, like, wow, you're really beautiful, you know? It's terrible. It's wrong. This is not right. What is that? That's weird. I'm like a chazi here. Look how much of a tzaddik I am. Look how many of you are bumping into the wall. The Gemara says, the guy's bleeding all over the place. Ooh, look how much of a tzaddik I am. You're an idiot. Look where you're going. Where you're going. You're walking through the street. I've seen people. I have seen this. Tell me if you've seen this. I've seen it. And I don't know what to make of this. I don't know what to make. I've seen people walking in the street here in Yerushalayim. Like this. You've seen it. You have to have seen it. The rest of those people are very into it. You want to look down, okay. I have seen people like that, I promise. I've seen, and I'm telling you, I'm a prim guy. I'm not anti, I like religious people. I mean, I'm more than that. I'm more than that. I have seen people walk down the street like this. I kid you not. Their eyes like this, and someone's holding their hand like they're playing like pin the tail on the donkey. Like, I promise, have you seen this? I've seen it like this, people like this. You know, he's like crashing down the street and the people are like, and Mama's eyes closed, the people leading him. Like this, Mama's like a blind dude. Like a blind guy. He doesn't know how to walk like a blind, like a cane, you know? Like a blind guy, because he doesn't want to see any women in the street. Zemuzal! Zemuzal! That's not, that's what Hashem wants. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. I don't, that doesn't make sense to me. But even worse than that, it's dangerous. No, but that's what the Gemara says. I told you it's a delicate time. It's hard to find the fine line. Yeah, no, that's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to make an announcement that you're such a tzaddik. Watch out for the chazer. Ooh, look how great he is. And you know what? Sometimes someone has to be wary. Sometimes when someone wants to show how great they are on the outside, watch out. Right? What do you need to make such a big announcement? You know, what are you trying to prove to how from you are? You have to wear a yarmulke that's like, from here to here. You know what I'm saying? Why? Why? You understand? What do you have to make it so, make such a big announcement of how religious you are? Why? Just tell me. Is it, your religiosity is only between you and God. That's it. There's no concept of trying to look for other people. Anyone trying to look for other people is a chakran. What does your life have to do with, what does your Yerushalayim have to do with anyone else? Right? Okay, so you're not supposed to make yourself look like you're doing something wrong. Okay, v'yisrael nekiyim im Hashem. Right? But whether you look at something which is wrong or not, is between you and God. Right? You learn here that sometimes when a guy sticks his hands out like this, like the pig, be careful. In other words, hafuch. When a guy's going like this, sometimes you have to worry, uh-oh. If he's sticking it in my face, how much of a tzaddik he is. that itself indicates, you know what he's doing behind closed doors. Watch out. Be careful. That guy, he's chashud. You know, he's suspicious. That guy's very suspicious. Swinging his pace at me. You know, keep your pace to yourself. You know, don't show me how long, you know, how big your talus is. You know, your mitzvahs have to do between you and God. Keep them between you and God. You don't have to make big announcements to everyone around you. And I'm telling you, I have no problem with being religious. I have no problem. But there's no value in being outer religious. It's not a Jewish value. It's not a Jewish value. It's not. Where does it say in the Torah? Show me a makor where it says how you should show everyone else how religious you are. It doesn't say that anywhere. There's no hanhaga that shows that. There's nothing. There's nothing that says such a thing. I convince me otherwise. Show me a makar, right? So that's what Chazal give Malkus. The Gemara says they put him in Chayrim for being so much of a tzad. Okay, so we want. I told you it. Listen, I don't want to make any absolute statements. It's complex. Right? It is complex, but it's something which also needs talking about. You know, everyone always talks about the other way. Don't be too not from. Okay, that's 98% of shmuzin are about, you know, don't do averis. Right? Don't be too anon from. Beseder. But you know what? There's a time and a place to say, listen, stop being too from. Alti etzad agarbe. What are you doing? And who are you trying to impress? We only try to impress Hashem. That's it. Anyone who's busy trying to impress other people, watch out for those guys. And I have been around long enough to see. I'll just tell you this. I've been around long enough to see the people who are scary. You know those guys? Scary guys, like, ooh, watch out. These guys are like, you know, I can't get out of the, I can't walk Dalai Lama's without my hat. You know those kind of people? Watch out. Watch out. I'm not chas v'shalom, I'm not saying that they're bad, but if something doesn't go, it's just my experiences, my life experience, purely my life experience has shown me that those people, either they crash, they fall apart, they disintegrate, they're hiding something, they're overcompensating for something, or even if they are a tzaddik, they're pushing way too far, and Nebuch, their kids end up feeling it, and the kids push way back to the other extreme, right? And it does nothing. What nothing good comes from being. You have to be normal. You have to be an idiot. You have to be such a moron and scare everyone. You know, you see, like, it's like, what are you trying to, like, spiritually bully people? Like, ooh, you're not from enough. You meet those guys? I get away from me. You know, it's absolutely, I can't even, like, judge you every step you take. Ooh, what kashrus is this? Like, shut up. Eat your own food. You know, like, you're like, what are you trying to show me how religious you are? Like, you don't eat my food, so don't eat it. Everybody like, oh, but wait, which packaging and which hechsher and what are you doing? Go ask a rabbi if that's the right thing to do. Go ahead. Go ask whoever your rabbi is. Go ask your rabbi. Is that the right thing to do? My rabbi's never taught me that. It's wrong. It's something very suspect there. In any case, Rabbi Yisai, Hashem, I told you it's a delicate topic, this topic. It's not so clear. It's not, I don't want to make blanket statements. You have to be careful. The bottom line is, everyone has to try our best to be emistic. To be emistic. Have your shemayim. To do what's right and not to do what's wrong. And to embrace, the simcha shel mitzvah of avodas Hashem, to be zoicha, all of us, and I bless you and bless you back, we should be zoicha to ivdu es Hashem be simcha amitis, ivdu es Hashem be avoda amitis, with yira shamayim amitis, and bezrat Hashem, we should all be zoicha to become the tzaddikim that we all really want. Thank you for listening.